Thank you for being here tonight. I did want to say, now we can't do this for everybody, all right, but I did want to say a happy birthday to Jeannie Johnson as well. I believe her birthday was yesterday. Yesterday was her birthday, and I was, as I was eating my cake, and I was thinking, is Jeannie's birthday today or yesterday? I was like, was she baking my cake on her birthday? That didn't seem fair. But so happy birthday to you. Thank you for working with the music and all the things that she does. So I appreciate that. The reason I said we can't do this for everybody is because I won't remember everybody's birthday. And if I don't say anything and you want to get offended, feel free. All right. but I did want to say that. Also, Pastor Aaron said that the ladies that'll be helping out here will be trapped in this room. Trapped, that's not a, I don't like that word. I mean, you can't get out, but trapped just seems like a word that's not fair, you know? So once you're in there, you can't come out during services, but trapped, I don't know if we want to use that term. But thank you, ladies, that are going to be helping, and everyone that does their part and works and does things for that as well, the PryCraft auction. And as well, it's nice to have Lene and her husband. You are always, Nathan, you are always going to be her husband here at this church. That's just how it's going to be. All right. But it's good to have Lene and Nathan with us. And praise the Lord, their flight was safe and everything there. So glad to have them from Florida up here for a little bit. So amen to that. All right. The book of Acts. We are talking about rightly dividing the scriptures as we go through here on Sunday nights. And we are, technically, we are in the time of the church. We are in the age of the church, but we have slowed down a little bit. We took some time to talk about the transition of the life of Christ and we looked in the book of Matthew, and we talked about what was happening at that time. Technically under the scope of the Old Testament, although, you know, it's on the right-hand side of that page that says the Old Testament, that we are in the Old Testament setting there with Christ, and with Christ offering the kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a physical kingdom, offering that kingdom to the Jews, to his own people, to the nation of whom it was promised. And God was offering that in his life and in his preaching. And so we talked about that. We talked about the crucifixion of Christ, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And now, after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they kind of end with the crucifixion and the resurrection, or soon thereafter. And then in the book of Acts, we have Christ ascending and saying that he's going to send the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we get some things here where we are in the beginning of the book of Acts, where, again, it's what we call a transitional book, right? So in the book of Acts, we've been looking at these things that have been established. And we looked, number one, at the church is born, the church being born. And that church being born, say, what do you see by that? Well, we see some scriptures, obviously, but mainly the thing that we can look at is Acts chapter number 2. In the very beginning of Acts chapter number 2, we see a very visible moving of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit operating now differently than he had before. Jesus Christ was going to, through him, was going to be a baptism of the Holy Ghost. John said, I baptize with water, but the one that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We see this very visible outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God working in a very specific way here in Acts chapter number 2. And so we see the Holy Spirit working. We see him working here with the Jews, and bringing a sign and doing those things. So we see the Holy Spirit working in the church. We see the last time we had a Sunday night service, and I was doing it, we talked about salvation through Christ. Salvation is being preached through Christ. That's what Peter stands and does. And we talked about how he was doing that. He was preaching Christ. He was preaching the resurrection of Christ. There were signs and languages that were happening. And we saw, which we're going to kind of go over again in a different context, but we saw that Peter was standing up and preaching to the Jews, is what he was doing in Acts chapter number 2. And so he was preaching Christ, and he was preaching Christ to a Jewish audience. They said, he said, Peter says in Acts 2, you've crucified your Messiah. And they say, what should we do about that? Again, this is the, you know, the Mike Sherry version, right? This is the paraphrased portion. This is, what should we do about that, that we've killed Christ? And what does he do? He says, repent and be baptized. Right? He throws in Christ and says, repent and be baptized. This Jewish connection of baptism with this Jewish connection of repentance that John the Baptist preached and Christ preached and now Peter is preaching. And he's adding in Christ because of salvation is through Christ, is what he does. So tonight, in that same vein, what also is happening is we see that there is a Christian body of believers that has been established. All right, so when we talk about the church, we talk about the church there as the body of Christ, and we talk about there is a body of believers that is formed here in Acts chapter number 2, where we are. So Acts chapter 2, let's look at this body of believers. Let's look in verse number 41. So Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Again, this Christian body of believers that begins here and is drawn out from Acts chapter 2 when they're now preaching Christ is these body of believers, they're Jewish. They're Jewish, is what this is. The body of Christ, the Christian body of believers, begins with the Jews. And they're the ones that are preached to, and they're the ones that are repenting here, and those are the ones that are receiving his word and baptized in verse 41, and they're added 3,000 souls to them. And in verse 43, the Bible says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Jewish, right? Signs and wonders. I mean, when you see signs and wonders, it's going to be one of two things. One, there's going to be signs and wonders used as deception that comes from the devil. And there's going to be signs and wonders given to God's people, the Jews. That's where you're going to see the context in the scriptures. And sometimes you'll see, especially in the tribulation, there is going to be those that are deceived, and that is going to include a Jewish population with signs and wonders done by the Antichrist. Listen, you can't, with AI now, you can't, artificial intelligence for the computers, you can't even believe what you see anymore. At all. So anything that you, and it's just one more proof that the only thing that you can believe is the Word of God. That's what you can believe. And a preacher standing up preaching the Word of God. But it's backed up by this. You can't believe every preacher you hear. Don't do that. You can't believe every teacher that you hear. Don't do that. You can't believe everything that you read about on social media. I know you're smarter than that, okay? Although sometimes people start running, did you know? It's like, I don't know, right? Where do we get real information? I don't know what is real information anymore. But I know what is true, and we can get truth from the Word of God. So that we can hold on to, and we're going to need that more and more and more. That's why, listen, the world says a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Well, what if you don't know what the picture is? What if it's not a real picture? It's not worth anything. You know what's more important than a picture? Words. God's words. God's words is more important than a picture. And so as the days continue to go forward, this is the truth we're going to have to believe. And how are we going to accept it? By faith. By faith and not by sight. We can look out in the world and say, well, everything out there points opposite the Bible. Well, you're going to have to not believe what you see and believe what is here, God's words that we have. And so it's a Jewish audience with signs and wonders. And what are they doing? They are, verse 42, they are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This Christian body of believers, they're forming together, and here currently, most of them are able to be together, and they are continuing in the apostles' doctrine. They're also, the Bible says here in verse 42, and fellowship. Well, they were fellowshipping together, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. All right, so the apostles' doctrine, based around the doctrines of Christ that they were taught. All right, so they're fellowshipping around the doctrines of Christ, the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship and community. Right, they were now separated from those that were believing in the law, those Jews that were believing in the law exclusively. Now they're together. Why? Because they're unified in Christ, this body of believers. What are they doing? They're breaking of bread. Say, oh, they were getting together and eating. Well, they weren't, maybe. They weren't necessarily Baptists, but, you know, this breaking of bread, we know that in the doctrine of Christ, that breaking of bread was the Lord's Supper. Remember his death till we come. So they were probably getting together, and they were breaking that bread and worshiping the Lord and remembering him. And the Bible says, and in prayers. Now, this thing about prayers, look in chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So this was this ninth hour of prayer. So what was still happening, what was still continuing, is they were preaching Christ crucified, but yet when it was time to go in the temple for prayers, they were still holding on to some of that Jewish culture, and they were going into the temple at that time for prayers. So this prayer was, they were getting together and praying, but they were also continuing to hold on to some of that Jewish law and tradition. They were doing what they knew to do. They knew that the salvation was in Christ, and so Peter's preaching what he heard Christ preach, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they were gathering together because now they were a body of believers, and yet they're still holding on to the prayers and some of the things that they were doing with Jewish. And we can see as we continue to go through Acts that Peter was certainly holding on to the Jewish law and the things that was required of him. Right? They were blending these things together, and rightfully so. Why? Because this was a time when the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding them in all truth, and was teaching them and revealing things to them as they were going through. It's a transitional book. So this is what we see. We see the Holy Spirit of God and this Christian body of believers, the Holy Spirit of God was baptizing those into the church, and these Jews were keeping the Jewish law and tradition, baptism and prayer and these things. Now, if we want to get really picky here, we can point out in the early book of Acts, there is no preaching of justification or of blood atonement. These things aren't being preached here in the early book of Acts. He's preaching, you have crucified your Messiah, and we need to get this right. He was the Messiah. And in the early book of Acts here, we also see that there's no Gentiles here. Look in chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, on and on. He's addressing ye men of Israel. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 12. They go to the temple to pray, and they do some miracles there. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob the God of, look what he says, our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 12. Chapter 5 and verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. All right, look down in verse 17. When the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak, where? In the temple, to the people, all the words of this life. And it's a Jewish audience. Look in 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in his name, in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give is repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Look in chapter 6, in verse number 11. And they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witness, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. The Gentiles aren't worried about the customs of Moses and the law. Look in verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, what does that sound like to you? Here's the nation of Israel, and they're bringing up, this is Stephen. They're bringing up Stephen in front of the council, and they're going to give him a chance to say something, but he's there. And they're bringing false accusations against him, and he stands up in front of them, and the Bible says he has the face of an angel. You remember a certain time when the nation of Israel was worried about someone else's face? Yeah, Moses, right? You remember that? They were afraid of him because his face shone, and he had to put a veil over his face to hide the fact that to hide the power of God on Moses as he was with God. And here he is again, and God's testifying through Stephen. They're looking at him saying, he has a face of an angel. Well, some of these guys that were sitting here, they were smart. They knew that reference. They knew the Old Testament better than me and you. They knew that reference to Moses, and they're like, But what'd they have to do? Well, they had some decisions to make. Say, what's going on at this time? Well, those are some subpoints. One, the church is born. But secondly, as we make our way through here, the Jewish kingdom is being offered again. That's what's after the death of Christ. The Jewish kingdom is being offered to the audience that we find in chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. I ran out of fingers. 7. I was like, you're still doing it with one hand, and you just said 7. All right, let's get it right here. All right, so in all these chapters, what is happening? This is a Jewish audience that's being preached to, and this audience is being preached Christ, but what is being presented? I'm in John for whatever reason. Let's go to Acts chapter number 3. Go back here, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, look in verse 14. We know the audience. We read that, 12 and 13. Verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Just reminding them, hey, you chose a murderer over Christ. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And this, in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. All right, skip down to verse number 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He's saying, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Remember, they were worked up. They were worked up by the leaders and the scribes and the chief priests. And they went around, and because of envy, they delivered him up. And they got everyone together, and they were all saying, crucify him, crucify him. Right? It's another reason you always just don't go with what's being worked up. You say, okay, is this Bible? And you make every decision based on that. All right, yeah, we're all here, and we're all saying the same thing, so it must be the right thing. Oh, be careful of that. Just because some group is loud doesn't mean they're right. We have to go by the Bible. He says that through ignorance ye did it, as also your rulers. And so, but he says, this has been fulfilled. Now look in 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now this is an odd switch here. If you're reading through your Bible and you start reading, you get to the book of Acts and you start saying, okay, Christ has died and man, we're saved through Christ. And so, man, this is all good stuff and this is all for us. And you start reading, maybe in your own zeal, you pass over the multiple times that make reference to who's being spoken to. Okay, so you miss Israel. All right? And so you miss that it's Israel and you have salvation and then baptism, but we understand baptism scripturally, and so it might not have all the answers there in Acts 2, but we're just going to keep going, and there's great things when the early church, and there's just a great moving of things here. In Acts chapter number 3, all of a sudden, there's these strange, it should be strange to you, terminology that doesn't make sense to you as you know Paul in the scriptures, like that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, verse 20, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God hath raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. What is being preached? What is being preached and what is being offered is the Jewish physical kingdom that has been promised in the Old Testament by all the prophets. This kingdom was not a shock to any Jewish believer that spent any time in the temple at all. The Jews said, we are going to come back to prominence. We have the promises of God to us as a nation. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to lead us into great power and great military, and we're going to control the world, and the Gentiles are going to come unto us. The prophets knew this. They had been preaching this for a long time. The problem, of course, is when the Messiah shows up in Christ, he preaches to them a physical kingdom, And yet they have to obtain that physical kingdom by, I've said it many times, by a spiritual kingdom. And they reject the spiritual kingdom. And in turn, Jesus Christ says to the scribes and the Pharisees that you're prohibiting, you're hindering everyone from receiving the kingdom. Why? Because they wouldn't accept Christ as a spiritual leader. They wouldn't accept him as a spiritual Messiah. They said, no, we're going to take care of the spiritual part. We're just looking for a king to come. And one that's going to put bread on the table, and one that's going to put a fish in every pot, and one that's going to take care of everything. They're going to take care of us. We got the spiritual part. We're looking for a military leader. When Jesus Christ comes and he's meek and lowly and putting children on his lap and saying you receive the kingdom, must be like one of these little children, they said, well, he's not the one. And he goes and it says, hey, repent, because on the outside you look all clean. You look like a white scrubbed sepulcher. You look like the tomb's here, but inside is full of dead men's bones. And they said, no one's going to talk to us like that. And they reject Christ. So what's happening here? Peter is standing. Christ has been crucified. Peter is standing and he's saying, man, Christ, if you've done it ignorantly, you have to receive Christ. And guess what's going to happen? Man, the time of restitution, the time of the sins being blotted out. What is he doing? He's presenting this to the nation. He's presenting this to the Jews to say, accept Christ and the kingdom will be yours. And so they're offering the king a messianic kingdom. That's what they're offering. That's what's being preached. Well, what happens? Well, if you've read the first half of Acts, at least, you know what happens. They reject it. They reject it. You remember the Jews? They reject what? They reject John the Baptist, sent from God. They reject him. They reject Jesus Christ, God's Son. They reject him. And what is this? This is one more time. One more time to reject the kingdom offered to the Jews. One more time for acceptance of the kingdom. And who is this brought by? Who is this witnessed by? Who brings the power of this presentation to the Jews? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. So in Acts chapter number 7, when Stephen stands and he's pleading with the people, and of course his face is the face of an angel, and he's speaking to Israel, and he says in verse number 51, all the way down in 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist what? The Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeling down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I mean, the reaction here is almost demonic, is what's happening. And they can't even hear it anymore. And that's where we are, by the way. That's where we are in the world we live in today, is where people can't even hear the truth without plugging their ears and running off and going crazy because they've heard something. People now equate words that they don't like to literal pain and punishment. That's the connection. And it's because we live in America where hardly anybody knows anything about pain and punishment. That's why. We live in a country where we're so blessed of God and we have things so easy as people that now when somebody says something that they don't like or we can't agree with, it just tears at the very fabric of their being, and they plug their ears and they run around like demon-possessed people because somebody said something. Remember the old saying, sticks and stones, but words shall never hurt me? Oh, we're way past that. If it was actually sticks and stones, I don't know what would be happening, right? I mean, bullies don't even punch people in the face anymore. Bullies just go online and say words and tear people down. Like, that's the bullies now, right? I mean, the bullies aren't even tough anymore. That's the world we live in. And it's no surprise, really, when you see the scriptures. And and if it keeps going, if the Lord isn't merciful and comes back, then the truth of the gospel, there's going to be physical consequence for the truth of the gospel. So how do you know? Well, look at this. This is what happened. There's going to come a time where if we stand down there in a corner by Walmart and lift up our voices and say, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's going to be a possibility of physical harm because we'll plug our ears and we'll run around like insane people. And they gnashed on him with their teeth and they ran after him to pick up stones to kill him. And that's what was happening. That's what was going on here, but they were, to get back to the point, they were rejecting the Holy Spirit of God. Look in Matthew chapter 12. How many weeks? It's been like a month and a half, right? Since we've been in this building. I'm still looking back somewhere back there for a clock. It's not there. All right? The clock on the back of the wall is not there, but I'm still looking for it. Matthew chapter 12, look in verse 32. Matthew 12, 32. Now, Jesus Christ was here, and he was doing miracles, and they're getting up and standing up, and they're saying that Jesus Christ is not doing this by the Spirit of God, but he's doing this by the spirit of the devil. And in verse 31, we'll read there, therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, it doesn't mean that people run around, well, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you can lose your salvation. That's not what it's talking about. It was literally accrediting the works that Christ was doing and giving that credit not to the Spirit of God, but to the devil. And now we see here this final chance for the nation of Israel to accept Christ, and they reject the Holy Spirit of God, and he says, that's not going to go well. Now, you and I, we can apply that to when we preach the gospel. Someone who rejects salvation without salvation, we understand what that eternity is. We understand that's an eternity in hell when you reject the salvation of Jesus Christ. We understand that. And so that is the sin that sends you to hell. You're guilty, but rejection of the Holy Spirit of God, rejection of salvation, is the choice that sends a person to hell. We're guilty because of the other things we do. But he's offered a Savior for us, but it's that rejection that changes things. So what happens in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. What do we see? And Saul. We see a shift. We see a shift here. And next week we'll look in Acts chapter number 8. We'll see this shift. What happens in this shift? God is dealing with the nation of Israel, and by the end of Acts chapter number 7, they have rejected the Holy Spirit of God, according to Stephen. They have rejected the Holy Spirit of God. They have killed Stephen as the mouthpiece that God had sent and used the Holy Spirit there. And what happens? We see Saul. We see him at the end of chapter 7, but we see him showing up here in Acts chapter number 8. And we see there now being a scattering from that central location of Israel, from Jerusalem. We see a scattering sent abroad. The first place they go is Samaria, just like God said they would. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. They weren't doing a very good job of getting out of Dodge. So Saul comes along and he starts persecuting the church. And they start to scatter. And when they start to scatter, God, the Holy Spirit of God in them gives them an opportunity to give the gospel. And when they start to scatter, they go into Samaria. We find that Samaria was half Jew and half Gentile. It's from the Old Testament. We might look at it. I don't have it in my notes here, but it's in 2 Kings something 17 maybe. We see that there's a mixture there. When the woman comes, when Jesus Christ comes through Samaria and sits at the well, and she starts talking to him like a Jew, but she's probably half Jew and half Gentile. They have kind of their own mix of religion. It's not really the Jews' religion, but they're from Abraham, and they have their own laws, and they do these things. And so it goes to them. And by the time we get to the end of Acts chapter number 8, what's happening? We see a Gentile, the Ethiopian eunuch, that has been a proselyte of the Jews, so he is of the Jewish religion. We see him getting saved, and by the time we get to Acts chapter number 9, we see Saul being called out. And what's Saul's ministry? He's the apostle to the Gentiles. And we see God starting to grow his church, and now the Gentiles are welcomed, and any individual is fully welcomed into the body of Christ through, why? The rejection of the Jews. That final offering of the Messianic kingdom, and God opens up now salvation, and it goes from Jerusalem and now extends all the way until Paul takes it into the world, and the gospel goes forward from there. So we'll look at that next step of the expansion of the church. We'll look at that next Sunday and run those references. So, all right, let's go ahead and pray and be dismissed this evening. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those that have come to hear your word. And Lord, thank you for your book. And Lord, this book is a powerful book. Lord, it can be a confusing book. Lord, thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. To see things and to study things, Lord, and allowing your Holy Spirit to lead and guide in all truth and to study to show ourselves approved. And Lord, we don't sit here tonight, Lord, puffing ourselves up because of the scriptures or some things that we're studying. But Lord, thank you for the truth and the knowledge of the truth that you give through your word. And thank you, we can be secured in our salvation through you, Lord. And we're just a bunch of Gentiles sitting here that got in. Lord, on salvation, thank you for accepting us, Lord. Thank you that we're just a branch grafted in, Lord, but I'm thankful for your salvation. Lord, bless us as we go about tonight, and Lord, give us strength this week to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.